Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. This has already been one of the most unusual election years in decades, and Tuesday, North Carolinians have their say. Here to talk about what's likely to happen in the presidential primary race and state contests is Jason Husser with the Elon University Poll. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, the long-awaited primary is just around the corner. I was going to ask you about some of the state races and your impressions, but everywhere I go, I know people want to ask about the presidential race. So let's start there. From what we know now, what are your thoughts as we head into the primary? And let's start on the Republican side.
On the Republican side, I would be surprised if we don't see Trump carrying a plurality of votes in North Carolina. But at the same time, I would be surprised if he gets a majority of votes in the state.
So it looks like a lot of people in North Carolina, some of the traditional leaders of our state, have sort of endorsed Marco Rubio, who was seen for a while as the sort of the, I don't know if I want to say the establishment, but maybe a more mainstream alternative to Trump. Where do you think he stands now after sputtering a little bit in recent weeks?
This is a very difficult time to be Marco Rubio. He hasn't done very well in the most recent primaries. We showed him in the last Elon poll at about 16%, so he was in third place behind Cruz. I would expect that that number is not the same right now. We've seen a number of developments in the Rubio campaign since really any polls, mine or others, have taken place. So Carson has dropped out. Bush has dropped out. It's not clear how those votes have split. Kasich is taking a lot of Rubio's thunder right now. And if Rubio can't position himself as the person for mainstream Republicans to use to take down Donald Trump, he's going to lose the wind in his sails very, very quickly.
You mentioned you didn't think Trump would get a majority. How do you assess what sort of some benchmark that folks should look for about how well he does as to cement his front runner status?
Well, currently he's at about 28% on the average of polls in North Carolina. That would mean he would really have to make a lot of ground to pick up the rest, whereas we see Cruz at about 19%. The benchmark I would look for is, does Trump get higher than 28%? North Carolina is a proportionate delegate allocation state, so really all Trump has to do to have a good narrative of success is not do worse than about 25.
Let's move to the Democratic side, where Bernie Sanders, I was just reading some predictions before the Michigan primary. I read one person who said if he lost by double digits, if he kept it to single digits, it would be a victory, and yet he upset Hillary Clinton. How does that momentum play as we move toward North Carolina's primary?
The Michigan primary polling has been the biggest upset in the 2016 presidential primary process so far. Sanders was expected to do quite poorly, and then he ended up doing great in comparison. But it's important to not overread Sanders' performance in Michigan. Clinton still is the leader in North Carolina polls, and she's still by far the leader and delegates, even when you don't count in superdelegates. So there's still clear Clinton momentum here. What will be interesting to see is if Sanders can keep this up, that maybe he can stay in the race longer, potentially continue to be a viable candidate.
Do you sense the excitement on the Democratic side, or is there maybe people believing that Hillary is the most likely nominee when we were just talking about the Republicans, and there still seems to be uncertainty, if not concern, about Donald Trump?
This Michigan case is an interesting test about what's going on the Democratic side. We see lower support and sort of enthusiasm just by turnout numbers on the Democratic side throughout the country. But we could have seen Clinton underperforming, at least in part, due to complacency of her supporters, that they thought, well, she's got this in the bag. I don't actually need to go stand in line to vote.
Interesting. I want to ask you about one issue that you did before we get to some North Carolina races. The big non-presidential issue in our country, I guess, is whether or not Congress should have hearings on a nominee to replace Antonin Scalia. I thought the results that you found in your last poll were interesting. Tell us about what voters in North Carolina believe ought to happen.
Yeah, we asked voters, as you may know, Justice Scalia recently passed away, creating a vacancy in the U.S. Supreme Court. Should President Obama nominate a person to fill this vacancy, or should he let it remain vacant and allow the next president to nominate someone next year? We found is that 57% of North Carolinians say Obama should nominate now, whereas 35% said allow next president to nominate. This could be a major campaign issue going forward about people's notion of who should be on the court. This could fire up the base. But it's important to know that many people can't can't tell you how many members of the Supreme Court there are or even name many of them. It's often a joke that more people can name the seven dwarves than the nine Supreme Court justices. So it's a case where the Supreme Court nomination could be a major issue to inspire partisan loyalists going forward in 2016, but probably not those independents in the middle.
I think some folks might have been surprised by those findings, and I guess when you consider that President Obama is not all that popular in North Carolina, I know his approval ratings have been underwater for a while.
Right.
Were you surprised that with his poor approval ratings that people still believed he should nominate a justice?
I was surprised that we had that high of numbers. I think a lot of it is that many people just haven't thought about it yet. So here's how that breaks down by party affiliation, and this is not that surprising. 84% of Democrats said Obama should nominate now, but only 26% of Republicans said that. The gap here comes from independents, where 57% of independents said Obama now versus 31% said allow next president to nominate. It's really that independents haven't taken partisan sides on this issue yet.
Let's move to some North Carolina races, maybe two that don't seem that close, but we should check in anyway, that there are primaries in both gubernatorial contests. Is there anything to watch here?
It's really difficult to know what the things will be like based on polling numbers, because pollsters throughout the state have decided that these contests for Senate and gubernatorial primaries really aren't competitive enough to even do a poll about. And so I would be surprised if we don't see McCrory and Cooper and Burr as a nominee. What I'm less sure about is the Democratic side on the Senate race.
Yeah, how do you handicap that? You mentioned there hasn't been a lot of polling. Former state legislator Deborah Ross certainly has the most money, and the polls I have seen showed her with a lead, but the vast number of Democratic voters still haven't decided.
It's really difficult to handicap it, and that's how we see surprises in these types of primaries. So Eric Cantor ends up losing, a very major part of the Republican establishment ends up losing his primary to a college professor. I have nothing against college professors, but it's still surprising when they can take down people that powerful. So we could see some surprises in these primaries, but I think at least for Burr, Cooper, and McCrory, they don't have that much to worry about between now and next week.
There are a lot of other races on the ballot. We don't have time to go through all of them. But, for example, there are several candidates running for a lieutenant governor on the Democratic side. There's a heated state treasurer battle. The Republicans have a department of superintendent of public instruction primary. And it seems difficult in a normal year for those races to get attention. And this year, with the unprecedented attention on the presidential race, is it hard for those folks to get attention? And is it hard as a political scientist to figure out what's happening?
There's two things that are affecting the tension of those races. One is that Donald Trump's is taking the air out of the room in many ways, is that there's so much attention on this presidential race, particularly how well Trump is doing on the Republican side, is that most people who have not spent much time thinking about politics don't really want to spend any more thinking about down-ballot races. On the other hand, because North Carolina is a proportional delegate allocation state instead of winner-take-all, we're not getting an adequate amount of national attention on our primary process. There's not as many national candidate ads going on in North Carolina, so it makes it a little bit easier for an ad-based campaign for these down-ballot races to get attention.
We mentioned what we should look at for what Trump's percentage should be. Is there a benchmark that Hillary Clinton folks should look for? I mean, she's overwhelmingly the favorite, but is there some magical percentage that you would either be elated if you were a Hillary Clinton supporter or alarmed if she didn't reach?
So I would be alarmed if she didn't get a majority of the state. She's currently, in our last poll, was ahead by around 11 points, though that lead has been narrowing. If she loses North Carolina, that really bodes very poorly for her as a national candidate. We have to remember that coming into November, North Carolina will be essential for Republicans to win. If a potential nominee like Hillary Clinton can't win it in a primary, especially with our high number of African-American voters, in which Sanders hasn't done that well, it doesn't bode well for Clinton's viability going forward.
Well, as always, fascinating numbers and results, and we really appreciate you being with us. Thanks
Great.
For your time.
Thank you.
Up next, what's at stake in the vote on the Connect NC bond? Stay with us.